This is your geopolitical risk briefing. I'm your analyst, and today we're examining something far more significant than individual conflicts or policy disputes. We're watching the active dismantling of the post-World War II international system and the emergence of competing power centers that will define the remainder of this century. Let me be direct about what we're observing. This isn't chaos. This is managed transition disguised as turbulence. And the strategic calculus here demands we distinguish between surface volatility and deeper structural negotiation. The major power shift crystallized this week in Abu Dhabi, where the Trump administration convened its first direct trilateral talks involving both Ukraine and Russia. What makes this significant isn't the meeting itself, but rather the methodology it represents. Traditional diplomatic channels, built over decades, designed to minimize risk through incremental progress and institutional memory, all bypassed in favor of transactional, leader-to-leader engagement. Now, this approach carries profound implications. On one hand, it creates breakthrough potential by ignoring historical constraints that have deadlocked previous negotiations. Leaders willing to overturn established protocols can potentially achieve what careful diplomacy cannot. On the other hand, the downside risk is catastrophic. When institutional guardrails are removed, personality-driven decisions can produce outcomes that subsequent administrations cannot sustain or may actively reverse. We're essentially trading stability for speed, predictability for potential. Building on that diplomatic dimension, we need to examine what's happening simultaneously in the financial architecture realm. While diplomatic engagement appears chaotic and improvised, financial globalists are methodically constructing infrastructure for tokenization and frictionless capital flows. This isn't merely economic policy refinement. What we're witnessing is the systematic creation of a governance model that subordinates sovereign decision-making to capital allocation authority. The contradiction is instructive. Surface-level diplomatic volatility masks systematic financial architecture construction. Major corporations managing tens of trillions in assets are implementing shareholder voting mechanisms that concentrate decision authority while distributing apparent ownership. The infrastructure being built right now, programmable money systems, digital identity frameworks, algorithmic governance tools, create dependencies that will constrain future policy options, regardless of which political leaders come to power. The strategic question for macro observers becomes, does current turbulence represent genuine uncertainty about outcomes, or is it theater establishing negotiating positions for a system restructuring that's already been broadly pre-negotiated among major power centers? Let's examine the Ukraine situation through this structural lens, moving beyond the binary thinking of victory or defeat that dominates most analysis. The United States and Ukraine are near completion of security guarantees that will require congressional ratification. This detail matters enormously. We have an executive branch pursuing diplomatic initiatives while facing an institutional approval process that introduces fundamental uncertainty. This tension between executive action and legislative consent reflects broader American institutional fragmentation that both allies and adversaries are learning to exploit. More importantly, three structural realities constrain Western leverage regardless of battlefield developments. First, China and Belarus provide substantial economic and military support to Russia, creating a sanctions-resistant coalition that can sustain pressure far longer than Western economic warfare models predicted. Second, infrastructure vulnerabilities affect both sides asymmetrically. Ukraine's energy grid remains under systematic attack that degrades civilian resilience, while Russia's aging Arctic city infrastructure produces blackouts that reveal systemic maintenance failures. Neither side possesses the infrastructure resilience that would enable decisive escalation without accepting catastrophic domestic consequences. Third, and perhaps most significant for long-term strategic planning, Europe's dependence on American early warning systems and limited independent defense capabilities underscore transatlantic security imbalances that will persist regardless of how the Ukrainian conflict resolves. The proposed fast-track European Union membership for Ukraine by January 2025 will likely face resistance from Central European states, revealing internal EU divisions that mirror broader questions about European strategic autonomy. The question Europe cannot avoid: can it function as an independent power center, or does it remain structurally dependent on American security architecture? This dependency relationship affects every negotiation, every commitment, every threat calculation in the current system restructuring. For scenario planning purposes, I'd argue we need to focus less on territorial outcomes in Ukraine and more on what precedents this conflict establishes. Does it legitimize great power spheres of influence as an organizing principle? Does it demonstrate the efficacy or limitations of economic warfare as a coercive tool? What role does technological adaptation play in modern conflict when both sides can iterate weapon systems and tactical approaches in real time? And critically, what does this reveal about the sustainability of coalition maintenance under sustained economic pressure? These factors will shape conflicts far beyond Ukraine's borders. They're establishing the rules of engagement for the multipolar system that's emerging. Now, let's examine American institutional fracture, because this directly affects global leadership credibility in ways that military capability cannot compensate for. The Minneapolis sanctuary jurisdiction standoff represents far more than an immigration policy dispute. What we're observing is fundamental institutional stress within American federalism that creates strategic uncertainty for international actors assessing American reliability. When local authorities frame non-cooperation with federal enforcement as a public safety priority, invoking resource allocation rather than legal authority, they expose how polarization has eroded intergovernmental cooperation mechanisms that once functioned regardless of partisan control. The constitutional challenge through supremacy clause arguments suggests potential legal escalation to the Supreme Court level. But here's what matters operationally. Practical enforcement remains uncertain regardless of legal outcomes. Federal authority exists theoretically but operates inconsistently in practice. This institutional ambiguity creates strategic uncertainty. When allied nations observe systemic breakdown in federal-local coordination over something as fundamental as border enforcement, they adjust their expectations about American institutional capacity and rule of law consistency. Three related dynamics compound this vulnerability and deserve your attention. First, information warfare around immigration incidents demonstrates how incomplete initial reporting cascades through partisan political networks, creating false narratives that serve factional objectives rather than policy clarity. The speed at which misinformation spreads now outpaces institutional correction mechanisms. Second, media conduct controversies in religious spaces reflect broader institutional trust erosion. When legacy media outlets face criticism for behavior during religious services, it signals declining agreement about professional norms and appropriate boundaries. These aren't isolated incidents. They're symptoms of fragmenting consensus about institutional legitimacy. Third, domestic protest movements are increasingly reframed through foreign influence operation lenses, suggesting declining confidence in organic political expression. When domestic dissent becomes automatically attributed to external manipulation, it indicates either genuine vulnerability to information warfare or institutional paranoia that delegitimizes authentic opposition. Either interpretation signals institutional decay. This matters geopolitically because it affects America's ability to present unified policy positions, maintain alliance commitments, and project stable governance models. Historical examples are instructive here. Declining imperial powers often maintain military capability while losing domestic governance legitimacy. The British Empire in the 1950s possessed nuclear weapons and global military presence while experiencing domestic institutional crisis that prevented effective power projection. The Soviet Union in the 1980s maintained massive military forces while suffering governance paralysis that prevented resource mobilization. The question isn't whether America retains hard power instruments. Clearly it does, and will for decades. The question is whether institutional coherence supports their effective deployment. Can a political system experiencing federal-state breakdown over immigration enforcement maintain the policy consistency required for extended great power competition? Can allies rely on commitments that may reverse with each administration or even each congressional session? Let's examine the technology competition, because this dimension will ultimately determine which power centers prevail in the emerging multipolar system. Technology providers are emerging as critical swing actors in this restructuring. Their willingness to work with any power block that provides funding and data access makes them kingmakers rather than aligned participants. This creates several second-order effects that deserve careful monitoring. Financial globalists are pursuing tokenization and programmable money infrastructure that could subordinate monetary sovereignty to algorithmic governance. Imagine central bank digital currencies with programmable conditions. Money that expires if not spent, that cannot be used for certain purchases, that tracks every transaction for tax compliance or social credit purposes. This isn't speculative. The infrastructure is being built right now in multiple jurisdictions. Sovereign nations are resisting by prioritizing resource control and political independence over market efficiency. Russia's development of the SWAT AI system, deployed in Ukraine despite fundamental limitations, signals participation in an innovation competition that transcends immediate battlefield outcomes. The system faces challenges against adaptive warfare, but that's not the strategic point. The point is demonstrating capability development that doesn't depend on Western technology access. China's economic support for Russia includes technology transfer that builds long-term capability in manufacturing, artificial intelligence, and weapon systems. Western technology restrictions face enforcement challenges when global supply chains and research networks remain interconnected. Chinese nationals working in American universities, component manufacturers with facilities in multiple countries, software development that can occur anywhere with internet connectivity, these realities make technology containment strategies extremely difficult to implement. The critical strategic question becomes, do technology advantages compound or diffuse over time? If advantages compound, early leaders establish unsurmountable positions through network effects and capital accumulation. If advantages diffuse through reverse engineering, espionage, and talent migration, then technological edges prove temporary. Current evidence suggests diffusion, which fundamentally favors larger resource bases and longer strategic patience. This creates advantage for China and allied sovereign blocs over financial globalist networks that depend on maintaining technology monopolies. When China can reverse engineering American weapon systems within years rather than decades, when Russia can develop comparable AI capabilities despite sanctions, it indicates that the technology competition will be won by scale and resources rather than innovation alone. Let me walk you through four scenarios you should be gaming out with your teams, because one of these frameworks will define the next decade. Scenario 1, Trump achieves a diplomatic breakthrough.
Transactional leader-to-leader engagement produces a Ukraine settlement that previous administrations couldn't achieve through traditional channels. This validates unconventional diplomatic methodology and potentially reshapes international engagement norms. The risk here is that subsequent administrations lack Trump's personal characteristics, creating volatility as the system reverts to institutional approaches. The secondary effect is that other leaders adopt personality-driven rather than institutional approaches, reducing global predictability. Every negotiation becomes dependent on who's in power rather than what agreements exist. Scenario 2, manage deglobalization. Current turbulence represents coordinated transition toward a multipolar system with negotiated spheres of influence. Financial globalists, sovereign nations, technologists, and military industrial actors reach accommodation that preserve their core interests while redistributing power. The risk is that negotiation fails, producing genuine rather than theatrical conflict. The secondary effect is that smaller nations are forced to choose explicit alignment rather than hedging between power centers. The era of strategic ambiguity ends. Scenario 3, American institutional breakdown. Federal-state conflicts over immigration enforcement expand to other policy domains, healthcare, education, environmental regulation, taxation, creating systemic governance paralysis. This reduces American global leadership capacity even as military power remains intact. The risk is that adversaries exploit institutional fragmentation